On your card, we have our first Christmas series message, Luke 1, verse 27 to verse 55. So this is the text we will be looking at this morning. But I can't help but I want to give some of you little reference because you're learning the Bible that we'll turn to a couple places and then sit down. I want you to notice a couple points. Romans chapter 1, first one. Romans 1, and we will go to Luke 1, but verse 18. And would you read it out loud with me? Hey, are you okay? Are you ready to roll? Or do you need a little, you want a joke? Or right in the beginning? Or later on? How about now? Okay, hold it. I have my jokes here. Two fellas were watching an old cowboy movie. It came to the part when the cowboy on his horse at full gallop was headed right towards a cliff. One of the guys watching the TV said, "Hey, I bet you $10 that he rides right over the cliff." The other said, "You're on." Well, the cowboy and the horse went right over the cliff. The fella that lost had to pay up. A while later, the guy who won said, "Hey, I'm feeling a little guilty about our bet and need to make a confession. I already have seen the movie." The other fellow replied, "Well, I've also seen the movie, but I didn't think he'd do it again." Okay, so, hey. We try one more or no? I think we'll move on. You want to move on? Really? One more? Let's see. I don't know if that's it's such a great one. Let's see. All right. You got it here. Okay. Farm boy overturned his wagon load of corn. The farmer who lived nearby heard the noise, rushed over. "Hey, Willis," the farmer yelled. "Forget it for now. It's dinner time. Come eat with us and we'll come back and I'll help you turn the wagon back over." "That's nice of you," Willis answered, "but I don't think Pa would like me to." "Come on," the farmer, "come on and eat. We'll get back and we'll turn the wagon back over." "Well, okay, but Pa won't like it." After they ate dinner, Willis thanked his hosts. "I feel a lot better now, but I know Pa is going to be real upset." "Don't be foolish," the neighbor said. "By the way, where is your Pa?" "He's under the wagon." Wow, you like that more than I did. That's amazing. Okay, ready to go? Romans chapter 1. Verse 18. This is a great message. So I'm so glad you're here and you're listening. This is important. This is good for our families and ourselves personally. Verse 1, verse 18. We're just going to touch on this. The wrath of God. Verse 18. Ready? 1, 2, 3. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Is the wrath of God happening now in the world? And it is. We read this. This is the meaning. But there's also faith, God's grace, God's presence is with men. We read that in verse 17. The righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, but also the wrath of God. Now look at our screen here for a minute. Up there on the wall, we have a line, timeline. Where do we see the wrath of God upon men in an obvious way? There's three examples. The flood is one, Noah. And there is one with angels. What was that one? The angels fell from heaven. How many? A third of the angels fell from heaven because of the wrath of God. What is the wrath of God? But the righteousness of God, the mind of God, meeting error. Has anybody ever lied to you? Have they ever lied to you? Has anybody ever cheated you? Ever stolen anything from you? And you say, that's not right. That's not right. I don't like what happened. I'm going to take him to court. Or that's not right. That makes me angry. Okay? But men are imperfect. And our sense of judgment is not always right. And our wrath does not bring the wrath of, or the righteousness of God. But the righteousness of God is a very real truth, attribute of God. And when he faces a lie, he is, in human terms, we say he's angry. Or God, that is not right. Just as human beings can sense when something is not right, so God, infinitely more so, has the judgment of his character and nature meeting a lie. And he's angry. That's called wrath of God. But we don't always see it. We could draw it on the diagram like this. It's kind of light. Noah in the flood was a heavy judgment. Wrath of God on the human race. A third of the angels fell. And what's the third one in the scripture? Sodom and Gomorrah. And the fire came, and those communities were judged by the wrath of God. Now, is the wrath of God in the world today? Romans 1, verse 18. All right, so that takes a little explanation, I think more than what we gave it. But because that is not our message, we're just going to leave it there, let it be there, and make reference later. All right, now you may be seated. Turn to Zechariah chapter 4, please. Another sub-point. Verse 10. For who has despised the day of small things? Verse 10. Would you read it with me? 1, 2, 3. For who has despised the day of small things? Now, we're going to speak about Mary this morning and the visitation of the angel with Mary. Before the angel Gabriel came to Mary, he had gone to a priest by the name of Zacharias. And he had said to Zacharias, do not fear. He said, your wife is going to have a child, even in her old age, and his name shall be called John. Did you hear that? Did you follow that with me? Very interesting. 3 points. Don't be afraid. Your wife's going to have a baby, and his name will be John. Now, the angel Gabriel went to another person, and this was Mary. And the angel said something very similar in the same outline. Do not fear, Mary. You will have a child, and his name shall be Jesus. Zacharias didn't wholeheartedly believe the angel. And so, as a way of God dealing with him and communicating to us, he stopped talking. That priest, Zacharias, just didn't talk for 9 months for the pregnancy. When the baby was born, and then they asked him who would write down on a tablet, because he couldn't talk, what would his name be, he wrote down the words John. Then he started to talk. With Mary, it was different. Because she received, heard, received, believed. She said, let it be unto me according to your word. The word there in the Greek is rhema. It means a sentence, the fragment of a sentence from a living voice, a living word, a part, a piece of the whole word, which is logos. The Greek, the word logos is the thought, feeling of the word and the whole thing. Christ is the logos in John 1:1. But when God speaks to us, he speaks in bits and pieces. He gives us rhemas. He gives us words. We said this morning in the earlier service that a dad at the kitchen table, dining room table rather, the dining room table, dad and mom, and they eat together with the children. They say to the kids, time for dinner. Drop your video game. Johnny, I told you, shut it off. Debbie, turn off the TV. Come to dinner. Come to dinner. Come to dinner. They come to the dinner. Pass the potatoes. They start to eat. Words from dad at the table. Small words. Important words. Dad is the man of the house with mom as his helper with the children. And direction, not only at the dinner table is food, which is important, but also relationship. Eye to eye, contact, words, leadership. Dad is a leader. He doesn't have to say much. Maybe your dad was like this, I don't know. He might have been kind of tough guy, quiet, but when he said something, you listened. Remember that? Dads are different, but what every dad needs is really what Mary received. Mary received from God a word. Those words are powerful on a spiritual level. And when you have that, and you have because you've been born again. Now, there's a lot of dads, like we could look down at our shoes and say, I haven't done a very good job. Okay, fine. That may be so, I don't know. But today's a new day. And get this in your heart and receive the message out of love that families are under attack, and one of the ways is for everybody to live their own separate life without dad's leadership. And the leadership is not, you know, like one of these Napoleon deals, you know, like, you know, I am the leader, you know. I am, you know, the hat, the three-point, the hat, the big boat on the head and the hand in the lapel. Leadership is service in the kingdom. Leadership is spiritual leadership. It's an amazing part of your life. And you might say, yeah, well, I'm not a leader. Yeah, you are. You and I are really, and here's the verse 10. Who hath despised the day of small things? How small is a conversation at the dinner table? How small is a little girl, a little woman, Mary, visited by an angel, and God saying, essentially, this is it. This is my work. Don't underestimate my work. I'm not coming like with in the clouds of heaven this time. I'm not coming with lights and lightning and flashes and everybody in the whole world talking about it. Not everybody is seeing it. But this is my work. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 12. God dwells in darkness. Sometimes I wonder why God would not make himself more obviously known to people. Well, he deals with small things that are important. A decision in the heart small things that are important. An event in Nazareth, this small town where the angel appeared unto Mary. All right, so turn now to the text. It's Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. It is the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. In her sixth month, now comes the angel to another person. Gabriel is the messenger of God that stands at the throne of God, and God sends Gabriel to do this communication. Verse 27. To a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. This is another thing about the underground part of what we're saying. Here's Mary. We could draw her like this. Put a dress on her. Some hair. Okay. And the king of Israel. There aren't any kings of Israel when Mary is here. This last one is back in the time of the Babylonian captivity. And after the seed of David is really underground in the sense that there's not a throne. Israel is ruled over by foreign empires. It's called the time of the Gentiles. And they don't have their own king. And as we know, Herod built the Jews a temple to appease them and to serve them and in controlling them. But the kings were in the biology, in the DNA, the line of David was in Mary and also in her husband Joseph. We have that understood there too. Joseph was of David as well. And God knew that these two people, they would get married, but before the marriage, he had this plan. And to speak to this lady who had great grace was upon this woman. She was chosen, and she was special. Verse 28. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored. That's the grace part there. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. You're chosen out of the human race to serve this purpose. Your DNA is important because the Christ has to be a human being, but not any sin. So even though sin is in our DNA as people, we are of the Adam, it is not only imputed, but it's also in our bodies that is passed down generation after generation. But God used Mary's DNA without sin, because Christ had no sin. But that DNA was important. This highlights our thinking about God and His work becomes very exciting when He honors the human race by being a human being. It is a marvel of our faith. It is the mystery of the fellowship that God would become a man and make man like God, but not be infinite. God is infinite, man is not, and man never will be, but he will be eternal. Actually, we are already eternal by our new birth, by the seed of Christ being born in us as we have lived by faith, the Holy Son of God is born in you. And this happened here physically with Mary. Wow. Verse 29. When she saw him, that is Gabriel, and she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. In the Greek, it means that she's perplexed and upset. If an angel appeared unto you, I think you could be upset also, questioning what is going on. What are you talking about? What do you mean? I have never been with a man. How could I have a child? I caught that part of your message. I will have a child. But that can't happen. I have not been with a man. Now, who wrote this gospel? What's his name? Luke. Who was he? Medical doctor. Medical doctor wrote this account covering all the bases, that there would be not a question in our mind that Mary knew she had never been with a man. Gabriel knew this because he said she was a virgin, that she's highly favored of God. There is no doubt. This is a great mystery, that but God can do whatever he pleases, and it's the only time in history when he chose to do this. He is incarnated as God, becoming man, as man, God becoming man. This is, she's upset and confused. Verse 30. The angel said, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, shall be called the Son of the Highest." This is not a question theologically, that the Son of the Highest, not a Son of the Highest. There is no question here. He will be actually the Son of God, the person, no one like him. In John, we read that he is the only begotten Son of God. Unique. Never had a beginning, but in our language, it sounds like only begotten, but it is not. It means that he is the only of his kind. He has never had a beginning and he has no end. Christ has always been and always will be. But now he is conceived in the womb of this woman. And of his kingdom, part B of verse 32, "The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." This fulfills the prophecy of 2 Samuel 7. David would have a son that would be on a throne forever. Verse 33. 33. "He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" She means no sexual relation she's ever had. "I know not a man, never have known a man, and I do not know, it has not happened. I am engaged to Joseph." In Jewish tradition, it was more serious than in our culture. When you are engaged, it's like a marriage. It's decided, you and they're together, but there is no sexual relation until the marriage itself. And so she has such a man, his name is Joseph. But the angel answered, verse 35, this is a very interesting verse. "The angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow you." The idea there of overshadowing is indicative of the presence of a cloud, the presence of, and the idea is in the Old Testament, the cloud that covered the tabernacle was the Shekinah glory of God. And it may be that when, as Mary was there, that the angel's saying, there'll be an overshadowing, and the Holy Spirit will come in you, and that holy thing that shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God. So the Shekinah glory comes over Mary, the Spirit comes into her womb, uses the DNA to make a man. That's amazing. Verse 35. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God. And behold, your cousin Elizabeth. Now, from what I read in the Greek, the word cousin is not there, but the word a relative. She's a relative. Elizabeth is a relative. And she has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Now Mary is being told this, and I love many parts of the story. One is, nobody knows what is going on. Only her. And who else is there? Nobody. It's her and God through Gabriel. And I believe it's very similar with us too as people. God visits you. God shows himself somehow in some measure. He speaks to your heart. John 10, verse 4. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. I call them by name. I realize that our lives may not always be filled with God making himself known to me in an obvious way, but that's why we want to also say Mary is wondering about it. Even in the presence of an angel and the presence of words, but she responds in this way, verse 38, she said, behold your handmaid of the Lord, here I am, be it unto me according to your rhema. Here I am. Let it be what you said. Your words are like rhema. Pieces, parts of the living word revealed to me the plan of God that you are going to do this, and I receive, I accept, I believe. This is essentially how our lives work also. You get a word, and you live by faith. Maybe you have some question about it. You wonder, is it really so? And that yet you are willing and believing. Don't despise the day of small beginnings. And also, it happens in a place of darkness. God dwells in darkness. He's not out there like everybody can see in that sense. Doesn't work like that. Because he is hiding from the proud and those that would use it for their advantage. But he speaks and shows himself to the humble and he delights in it. And Mary is sensing it. This is one of the blessings of the spiritual life. There'll be times when you really sense and it's very clear to you. Wow, you say. Wow. You say it in your... You just know. Now, I was reading recently letters, private letters that Mother Teresa wrote to a couple priests who were her superiors. And they were so private that she said she asked the men, two priests that would read the letters, give her counsel. She wanted the letters destroyed and burned. But they didn't feel like doing that, so they kept the letters, and they're now published. And one of the things that she would say is, I am so hungry for God. I want God. I love God. I am seeking God. But I am lonely. But I wonder where He is. I'm longing for Him. I am thirsty for souls. I want people to be saved. I want people to know Jesus. And I know Jesus is thirsty for souls also. But to be very honest, what should I do? Because I feel like I'm running on empty, or I am lonely, and I am looking for God. And I think this is worthwhile mentioning, that sometimes when we think of spiritual people, we think they're always riding high, like Mary in the story. It's a very high point for her. And she's like going to be saying it, because there's more to it. She goes to Elizabeth's house. She walks down south to Hebron area, where her relative Elizabeth is an old woman and pregnant. Mary, walking down, decides to go down and visit her relative. She heard she is pregnant. The angel said that Elizabeth is going to have a child. So on her way down, like, she's probably wondering, and maybe even wondering if she is pregnant, like the angel said. But I mean, you don't see it, and she doesn't see it. I wonder if she felt it or knew it. But when she meets Elizabeth, Elizabeth is an old woman, and she's pregnant, and that's quite impossible. But it's a sign to her. Mary, my husband Zacharias was in the temple. An angel appeared, and he said that I was going to have a child, and we're to name him John. And Mary could say, well, an angel came to me and told me that I'm going to have a child, and his name shall be Jesus. Verse 39. Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into the city of Judah, entered into the house of Zacharias, and saluted Elizabeth. Came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. We imagine, Mary's not married. Mary has not said anything to her. I mean, Mary, she meets her and she prophesies. And she says by the Holy Spirit that blessed is the fruit of your womb. And then she says also, the mother of my Lord, verse 43. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? And she is nothing but a mere teenager. But this is God's work. Have you ever seen God's work like that somewhere? Have you ever seen God work on the backside of the town somehow? Have you ever seen God work in a prison cell, a nursing home? Have you ever seen God work with a hardened criminal or a blind person? I mean, spiritually blind. Have you ever seen God's work through a church, through missionaries? Have you ever seen God's work through a prayer meeting? Have you ever seen how God does not despise those small but very powerful beginnings? They happen because righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. But also, have you ever seen the wrath of God happen? I heard an NFL football player, 25 years old, last night, drunk, drove a car 100 miles an hour, flipped over, and his life is taken. He's gone. I don't know if he was a believer. I don't know his name. I don't know much about it at all, but I just heard about it this morning, just a little bit. How about the sexually transmitted diseases? 50 years ago, there were two of them, syphilis and gonorrhea. 50 years ago. Today, there's 25 STDs. Why? Where are the diseases coming from? For people that are sexually promiscuous, very liberal-minded, and doing anything they damn well please? Well, maybe we could say spots and touches of the wrath of God. Maybe to say to us, listen, the wrath of God is upon the human race, and I am very patient. I will not flood the earth again. But I pour out rain and harvest time and sunshine, and I bless you with marriage and business ownership and prosperity and food and health and many blessings. But take note, the wrath of God, that I have a moral, just mind. And let me tell you, my Son, Jesus Christ, came into this world to take the wrath of God for you. I hit him with my wrath. I came as the just God, and I took upon myself the sins of the world, and I took the hit so you could have abundant mercy and abundant grace, that you would have eternal life without any judgment. You don't see this, though. Like God could say to us, you don't see this. You don't see my wrath. But wake up. Look again. Do you see my judgments? Do you see my work? Do you see my hand? Do you see that thieves, sometimes they don't get away with it? I read about a guy in Baltimore in a chimney. He got stuck. A thief. And they found his body months later. The skeleton and clothes stuck. There's another case stuck in a air conduit horizontally. Horrifying thought. Stuck, suffocating, dying slowly. God is saying, I love every single human being, but I need a wake-up call. I need you to realize that I am a God, and I'm not like you. You think I compromise, cheat, fool around, lie. I am not like you. I am not a man that I should lie. I am the righteous God. And whenever you meet a lie, when righteousness meets a lie, you get angry, and it happens to you and I, even though we are as wicked as we are. Man, you stole from me $100. I'm ripping angry. Where's that just sense of what's right and wrong come from? It came from God. And he's infinitely more so like that. Everything. And he sent Christ so that, you know, we don't see it, but if we saw what Christ did, we'd be amazed. It is. Look at Luke 1, verse 44. Below, as soon as the voice of your salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Maybe some of you mothers remember the kicking and punching in the belly, the flipping. My daughter Bethany, I remember my wife was in Bible school class in Finland, pregnant with our first daughter. And she's sitting there, and then suddenly almost fell off her chair as the baby went this way to this way. You know how that is, 180 degrees. I'm not saying that was from the Holy Spirit, but we are saying John the Baptist did it by the Holy Spirit. It says, the babe leaped in my womb for joy, and blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Mary, listen to me. It's going to be just like that angel said. You're going to have a child. You are the mother of my Lord. It's just the way it is. And we need this in our life. Like, I might have it in my personal life, but I need somebody who has a spiritual heart, mind, heart, life, love. They say to me, hey, when I saw you, something hit me, and I know that God is with you and He cares for you. It hit me. I believe God's going to use you. It hit me. You are my sister. You are my brother. This is more than flesh and blood. When I met you at the church, I realized there's something going on. I recognize that this is the Spirit of God and the Bible of God and the body of God and the mission of God. I realize there's something. But we say, but why doesn't all the world know this? And God says, I have a small thing in darkness, in a way, please understand me, I'm hiding from the proud. They're not going to get it. Hollywood is not going to make a movie about it. It's not going to make it. I mean, actually, there are movies, of course, but you understand what I mean. They're not really into it. They don't understand it. They are not there. But you are. And I want to encourage you. You are there. You are where it is happening. I used to say when we were on the mission field in different places, we are right now at the center of the universe as far as I am concerned. Right now, sitting in this little dumpy town on a little wooden stool with dust in the air, sipping on tea with my brothers and sisters, I am right at the center of the universe as far as I am concerned, because this is the plan, the way it works. Don't despise the day of small beginnings, and know that God dwells in the darkness and He has a word in season for you and me. And somebody will say, amen, amen. They'll say it in their heart. Amen. You're sitting there. The trucks are passing. The dust is, the flies, one light bulb hanging down. Flies are flying around. And you know, I'm in the center of the, you know, mosquitoes. I am on the top. This is amazing. Okay? Let's finish up. Verse 46. Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord. I could almost say that the way you said it before, in tears almost. My soul, man. Right now, God is so real to me, Mary could say. Right now, I greatly magnify God. I believe you, God. I magnify you. Isn't that beautiful? Weeks, months later, Mary, how are you doing? Well, I got up this morning. Do you think Mary was always like, always so, like, so much that way? You think Mary was always like on top of her game? I don't think so, because I don't think that's how it goes. I think God does His quiet work, and you carry it in your heart. And there are times when it'll be like, oh, my soul magnifies God, verse 47. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Notice two parts of the immaterial part of man, my soul and my spirit. For He has regarded the low estate of His maiden, verse 48. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For He that is mighty has done to me great things, and holy is His name. This is called Mary's song. This is her singing. And this happens when God does something in your life. You start to have a song. When they came out of Egypt, they had a song. When Hannah had a child, she had a song. When Mary is realizing God is with her, she's going to have a child, she has this song. And basically, what is she saying? I'm nobody, I'm nothing, but God has done this great work. I mean, the hungry are well fed, the poor are made rich. It's a mystery, but this is the hand of my God. My God is with me as a believer. And I want you to know that He is with you as a believer. It's the same. We have a song too. Our song is, maybe I came out of drugs. Now I have no desire for them anymore. That God is satisfying much more deeply than my drug habit ever did. My song might be that I've had troubles in marriage, and I've had a few of them. But my song is that He's taken away the memory, the sting. He's taken away the broken heart. He's taken away, and He set me up upon a rock higher than myself. My song might be, I got a new name. My name was Mud. Now I got a new name, Glory. I came from the dirt. Now my God became a human being so that I, as dirt, might be made like an angel. I've got a new song that I have eternal life. My song might be that I've never thought much of myself, but now I have a new identity, and it's given to me from my Heavenly Father, and I sing about it, and I know it's real. I know it's true. He's not left me to hurt me. He has saved me, came into the world to save me, to help me, build me up, encourage me, edify me, and give me an inheritance that is eternal. That's our song. What else does she say? Six things she says. We'll finish up. It says, verse 50, His mercy is on them that fear Him from generation to generation. Remember that woman, I mentioned it earlier in the service, there was a billionaire, Texas oil man, billionaire, 90 years old. Anybody remember that? And he got married to a young woman, 25-year-old woman, who married him, and he was 90 and like one foot in the on a banana peel, you know, and the other foot in the grave, right? He's ready to go, but he's going to have his last fling. And he marries a 25-year-old blonde, you know, model or something, okay? And she's thinking money, right? Disaster. The whole thing turns into a disaster. It's in the press. I mean, it's an old story, kind of. But I'm thinking, sure, that makes sense. Young, healthy woman, old Texan billionaire, you know, billions of dollars. Young woman, sure, marry him, live with him for a while. He dies, you're rich. Okay. Careful. Careful. What are you looking for? Are you looking for a deal? Are you looking for circumstances? Are you looking for, or are you looking for that which will never fail you, will not let you down, will not disappoint you, but you can't find it because you hid it? God is there. He's got it. It's there. I mean, it's hanging on a cross. It's not really hidden, is it? He's out in the open hanging on a cross. If I be lifted up, all men will be drawn unto me. But duh, human race. The story ends sad. She dies a short time later. Gone. Did she need money? She needed what Mary's singing about. I got something. I got something. God visits the humble, the weak, the poor. I got something. I have something. The rich cannot find it unless they find it the same way that Zacchaeus did in the tree and Joseph of Arimathea did at the tomb. They can find it just as anybody. And there are poor people that are proud and never find it, and rich people that are humble that find it. You cannot figure it out. But we are saying, wake up, world. What have you found early morning in your stocking? A lump of coal? A headache, heartache? A disease? What have you found out there that is so great? Our answer to you is come to God and find Him. He is not far from any one of us. And Christ took the wrath that should go upon us, just like a lightning rod. That cross is, He's just hanging in the air to take the hit of the wrath of God so that you and I could be free. And these words are needed in our families. Let me finish with that. I said it before, but I want to say it again. Dad, you need a dinner table. Everybody shut off all the electronics. Come to the dinner table like they did in the old days, ancient times, eating eye to eye, face to face. And Dad, you come to the table with the Holy Spirit as the leader, and you give little words of wisdom, and sometimes it may be silent. Might be, Johnny, don't talk like that. Might be, Jimmy, pass the potatoes. And Nancy, behave yourself. Or something like this. Dad and Mom are so happy that we're together. We love you, kids. You cannot imagine how much we love you. How last night I came into your bedroom and I knelt down beside your bed and I prayed for you. And I'm not saying it as an actor. I'm saying it as you could say it at your table. Your kids need the table. They need Dad. They need Mom. If Dad's not there, they need Mom. They need a word. They need care. They need wisdom. This family thing is falling apart, drifting away, even in our very presence. And it shouldn't happen. If we have something like Mary's got it, you're going to sing a song in the driveway. You're going to say something at the dinner table. You're going to have a pat, a word of affection, a hug, an embrace, a quietness, a tear that'll come to your eye. And Mom and the kids will say, Dad, I don't know, but he's my dad. And I don't have anybody, there's nobody like my dad is my dad. And that's the kind of person you want to be as a dad. And I say that to encourage dads and to say, don't give it up. Don't let it slip away. You have a family. God gave it to you. And be relaxed. Have a lot of fun with them. Enjoy your family time with your wife. And if you're the woman of the house, make it easier for your husband. Keep them in prayer. And together as a team, loving each other, decide for the kids, with them, as they grow through different stages, how to live and be as a family. And say things that are precious from your own heart, and you will get them in the church. And your kids need it more than ever. Always has been needed. But it's really needed today. Then the dinner's over and they go back to their games. The dinner's over, they go back, they watch the movie, they go back and they're gone. And you know, you may not shut that out of your life, and I'm not saying you should. But they go back. But they go back with something that came from Dad and from Mom. Don't lose it. Don't let it go. Have a family by God's grace. Amen. Would you pray with me? Amen. Thank you, Lord. You're here today and you want Jesus in your life. You're here today and you come to Jesus just as you are. Come to Jesus Christ and say to Jesus, I don't understand everything. I'm like this Mary in the story, but I believe. Let it be unto me according to your word. I believe. If you say I need it, I need it. I might not even know that I need it, but if you said I need it, I must believe in you. Say, Jesus, I believe in you. Say that prayer, please. Jesus, I believe in you. And then raise your hand, please. You're saying that prayer this morning. Ushers will give you a booklet, anyone at all. This is an invitation to accept Christ and believe in Christ. Anyone at all, raise your hand, please. Out in the hallway, anybody? Inside, on the internet, anybody? And then to the church, please keep this in prayer that every service somebody would come to Christ. We have 3,000 computers Sunday mornings on the internet listening to the messages, and perhaps some are those that are needing to accept Him, believe in Him. Then be praying as a church, Lord. We pray that You give us a harvest in Baltimore City, a harvest. Bring them in, like You brought elephants into the Ark of Noah. Bring people across our parking lot to come in and hear the gospel. Bless this Christmas season. We would bring neighbors in, folks off the street. Bring them in to hear about the wonderful love that is in Christ Jesus. In Your name, amen.